Chapter 10. Passport to Everywhere. Passing through the substance of the separate self. Passion is energy. Feel the excitement that comes from focusing on what excites you. Oprah Winfrey. Passion is a passage of source vitality through the energetic boundaries of the separate self. It passes through the makeshift border between self and other. These borders are made of the denser energies of suffering. They block the flow of refined energy through their energetic density, mass, and weight. The energy that congeals as the border of the separate self is heavy, depressed, contracted, and compressed. It is made of our disinherited despair, our numbed anger, and our tranquilized fear. This stuff of separation comes forward in the divisions between ourselves and others, or between the inner world and the outer. The splitting of experience into outer and inner worlds has many frontiers. There is a split between ourselves and the universe, between ourselves and nature, between ourselves and God, between ourselves and the fellow human. There are even internal splits between us and ourselves, between who we are and who we want to be, or between our thoughts, feelings, and physical experience. When we talk about holistic medicine or transpersonal therapy, we are generally thinking beyond this split. Yet for many forms of therapy, the fractured psyche is the alpha and omega of the therapeutic approach. It is an assumed reality. The energetic stuff that divides the psyche between inner and outer worlds, the substance of the separate self, is dense. It is energy in contraction. For example, if love were water in flow, then the contracted form of it would show up as hatred or the energy of self-sacrifice. It is brittle and so cold that it burns. This hatred is shocked love. It is made of love. In the same way, the energy of boredom is sedated passion. Contracted energy, which is at the border of the separate self, is made up of all the varieties of suffering where we have been shocked or wounded in our naturalness. It includes the energy of resistance, the numbed pain of rejection, and the dumbed-down sense of stupidity. These sufferings of disconnection are real, even though they resonate within the fact of connection. The pain of separation happens within the fact of wholeness. We believe it is an actual disconnection, but it is rather the change in flavor of connection from nurture to torture. The bewildered mind translates the suffering of the separate self as a fixed fact so that it can regain control. But this is just a belief. It is no longer true to the ebb and flow of experience. The suffering of the sense of separation does not mean that we are actually separated. In the same manner, the suffering of resistance to life does not mean that we have the power to resist life. Life cannot resist life. It can only create divisions and splits within mental consciousness. Life goes on undisturbed. The energetic stuff of the separate self is often also weighted with the sense of guilt or wrongness. All this is often sealed with the acid of shame. This energetic glue of the separate self presumes authority over who, what and where we are. It seems to define us. Defined by the pain of separation, we forget who we really are, which is the undefinable source of all life and all form. It's so much easier for the mind to identify with something than a formless nothing. When we objectify ourselves, it can be easier to believe that we are in control. We've got a grip on ourselves. But out of this objectification, fear is born. We start to compare the object of ourselves to other people, whom we also objectify. We start to compete. We weave whole illusory stories, often dictating who and what other people are, in order to compare them to who or what we are. Yet we do not really know who anyone is at all. Whole sentient craters of suffering are opened in the psyche, where we suffer the dread of condemnation, abandonment, and loneliness. We need other people as fundamentally as we need oxygen to be alive. Through the inflow and outflow of energy, we become affirmed in our individuality. It is togetherness that makes us unique, not the opposite. The free flow of energy through the suffering stuff of the separate self is profoundly supportive of well-being. We need one another. Our well-being demands it. No form of life can survive for long in disconnection from its living environment. Through each other, we expand, grow, heal, and evolve. Through each other, we are able to remember who we are. In the words of the pioneering expert on trauma, Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, social support is not the same as merely being in the presence of others. The critical issue is reciprocity. Being truly heard and seen by the people around us. Feeling that we are held in someone's mind and heart. For our physiology to calm down, heal and grow, we need a visceral feeling of safety. No doctor can write a prescription for friendship and love. The notion of the separate self is a pandemic of suffering and stress. The stuff of separation, being energetically dense, can begin to feel more real than our consciousness. This is because each time we forget about it and look again, it's still there. It's a stubborn energy created and confirmed by all that we've learned. This includes the devolved norms of our education systems and the barrage of mass media messages that reinforce the experience that the real world is a world of objects. Objectification, taking a series of impressions from the felt sense and making an objective thing of it, has become an addiction and a compulsion. We take the objects we created in the past and we hurl them at one another, defining our future based on past conclusions. All this enforces the increasingly familiar, uncomfortably numb stress of isolation that creates tension between ourselves and the environment. Dancing to the consensual melody of the software of suffering, the energetic stuff of the separate self blocks the flow of sentient information in all directions, from outside in and from inside out. It becomes hard for us to let the world in, and harder for us to freely express ourselves. What is the effect on the substance of the separate self when passion begins to pass over its muddy slopes? When passion stirs through the psyche, there is a clearance and a fresh sense of space and awakeness. This allows us to come into an alignment of head, heart, and body. It is not that suddenly life is all pleasure, If at all, it becomes more serious than ever before, and yet much less entangled. There is power in the movement of passion, which means there is far less chance of becoming distracted by minor discomforts. It is as if the soul undergoes a reorientation within the body. We find our ground, we rise, and we stand tall, irrespective of social fear. By degrees, we become less reactive to small matters, as every fibre of experience becomes devoted to the same movement of passion. This brings the sense of purpose, direction, and reward, as the perimeters of the separate self become less obsessive, an inner stillness becomes accessible. As body, heart, and mind become responsive to the needs in the here and now, the energetic substance of the separate self itself begins to change constitution. Where it was never actually there in the first place, it is no longer mentally imagined. Where there are contractions from histories of pain and trauma, there is a melting. The felt sense of resistance, depression, and numbness mutates into a freshness and an easy emotional intensity. The whole form is coming to life, moving and transforming through the deeper power of passion. It can feel like we have been dragging through our days in an awkward and heavy suit of armor. The wardrobes of war are now getting exchanged into whole new wardrobes of endless possibility. Our appearance to the outside is no longer a frontline coping strategy. What we wear, the outer skin of the separate self, is no longer sought as the source of fulfillment, protection, and self-expression. It is no longer our compass through which we find direction. How we appear to others no longer has authority over how we are. We have switched gear into the quality streams of passion. However, this protective armor of the separate self was worn for a reason. In a way, it is the accumulation of generations of defensive measures against being shocked, wounded, or violated. We don't need to let it all go at once. We can always put it on again if there's danger. But as the armor begins to have chinks in it and the passion flows through, we find we need it less and less. At first, we might feel an ecstasy of manifestation, but soon afterward, an incredible vulnerability. There is a healing whiplash to the breakdown of the separate self. And this whiplash, handled with tenderness and permission, is also healing. Passion whiplash. Part of the passion whiplash can be sourced in generational trauma. These emotions need our care and patience. These repressed areas of experience have waited generations to be felt, to scream, speak, rage, and to spit hatred. When we can give some space and time to what has passed through the history of our physiology, they will find their correct and honored place in the truth of their own context. We will go more into passion and ancestry in chapter 20. Another part of the whiplash of our disintegrating shell can be connected to the actual lack of safety in our environment, pointing to a need to find skillful means to let passion move without too much danger. Often that safer environment is available to us. We just forgot that we have the right to it. If your immediate environment sucks, passion will show you where you have the freedom to change it. As passion moves, our sensitivity and emotion begins to work for us rather than against us. This has the healing effect of changing our attitudes toward our emotions and towards life. There can be a flash of anger, for example. The anger is brighter, less sticky, and more responsive to real-time need. There's less badness in it. It is corrective and then easily released. Often it will work for the purpose within the passion, setting boundaries, clearing the way of obstacles, accelerating movement. It releases emotional vitality for the service of the greater good. This is where we might find holy rage, furious humility, or a rant of wisdom. It is a far cry from the spooky rage that brews backstage when the movement of passion has been frustrated. In a similar purification, our fear turns through the alchemy of passion into sensitivity. Our psychic antenna become alive as receivers of information. There is a greater sensory refinement. Colors are seen as brighter, sounds are clearer and more varied, atmospheres near and far become more accessible to sampling. Each thread of experience quivers in the here and now. The fearful arousal of the nerve system that was previously shunned now affirms the safety of being informed in real time by the resonant environment. This connectivity brings a deeper relaxation, and the relaxation means we can connect more deeply with others, free of the sense of burden, guilt, or obligation. In relaxation, we open, and this opening further widens the passage for passion. Yet there is a reason why we are in a habitual state of stress. There were reasons why we did not relax until now. We could not relax because then we would feel something unpleasant or uncomfortable. Now, these underlying vulnerabilities are being kissed by the energy of passion. Arising directly out of the source of all we are, passion is full of healing potential. It has the power to draw the core qualities out of the energetic contraction of the separate self. Where there is self-hatred, the possibility of love will emerge. Where there is slavery, there will be the scent of freedom. Where there is shame, it will shine so purely, it shatters the heart. Where there is guilt, green shoots of innocence will break through the miasma. Humility will show her limitless strength at the core of jealousy. Indisputable belonging will rage out of the subterfuge of conditional acceptance. Absence and abandonment will tremble with a lullaby of care. And as joy appears as a great existential sun behind the weathering of grief, eternity stands endlessly upright at the centrifuge of time. The end of suffering. Passion is the end of suffering, but it's not the cessation of it. When we are moved by passion, or when we become passion on the move, then what was previously seen as an endless ocean of suffering can now be seen as having a beginning, a middle, and an end. Our difficulty in allowing experience is connected to our difficulties with the structure of time. When passion awakens, it reveals that suffering is passing with time. What has appeared as eternal pain is now seen as pain changing through the eyes of eternity. Our pain comes and goes, and we remain as the continuum beneath the pulse of experience. The suffering of transience becomes the transience of suffering. When we become passion on the move, then what was previously felt as an infinity of pain, as a bottomless pit of suffering, can now be sensed as only occupying a certain area, a limited portion of space. There is a place where suffering ends and fresh air begins. There can even be an ocean of suffering, but above it, the stillness of a clear sky. There is a shape to suffering. There is an inside and an outside, a before and behind, an above and a below. Our difficulty in allowing experience is connected to our difficulty with the structure of space. This shows up as difficulty containing any emotion or feeling. When we unlock the passion for life, it becomes clear that our suffering takes up a restricted amount of space, and that even this is unstable. It is changing shape in a constant process of transformation. This whole process of living transformation is occurring within the boundless field of our undifferentiated awareness. Suffering is changing. We are not. The suffering of impermanence becomes the impermanence of suffering. When passion awakens, or when we awaken as passion, it liberates the infinite possibility of feeling and sense perception. Arising out of the unified field of infinite potential, passion brings passage through all that is limited in time and space. Arising as formless, we are empowered as the source beneath all form. Alive as the formless source of all experience, we emerge as masters of form. When we shift into the inner authority of our passion, we learn new ways to navigate the river of life. Whereas previously we complained about the unpredictability of the river, trying to dictate its course to decrease our pain, now we are learning how to sail with its mysterious journey. Passion is a sacred passage all the way to the ocean.